asking the following question yesterday.
Second part of Parshat Lech Lecha, coming from Brit Ben Abakarim, which really set the stage for the history of Klal Yisrael, all Toldot Yisrael from beginning and all the way to the end, through the Malchuyot, the exiles that Klal Yisrael is going to have to go through, and Avraham Avinu, who really sets the stage and plants the seeds for the ability to beat all these different exiles, all these different world powers, where the dove is going to be remaining whole at the end of days. We were to expect then, now that the stage has been set up, one can start multiplying Avraham Avinu in the form of his descendant Yitzchak, but somehow we do something strange, and that is, even though from a birth view perspective, so to speak, we know Yitzchak is going to be born, Avraham Avinu is even going to be told so in the context of Brit Milah soon, and that Yishmael is going to be a descendant which will multiply tremendously, b'ma'od ma'od, but he's not going to be the one to carry the covenant, so then what's the point? If Yitzchak anyways is going to be the one to carry the covenant, what's the point of bringing out of Avraham Yishmael? By such a weird suggestion of Sarah, and that is that he should go and have relations with his Shifcha, Hagar HaMitzrit, and then have a child through that, which anyway is going to be thrown out of the system. What's the point? More so, we said that the Chazal, that Medrash Rabbah that we've been using constantly in the past few shiurim, that Avraham Avinu is a pearl that was lost in the sand, that we have to go through 20 generations of seeking again and again and again, some kind of a selective breeding until we get to actually to the genes of Avraham Avinu, when he actually appears after two parshiot, at the end of Parshat Noach, leading into Parshat Lech Lecha, select yourself. So now that he's selected himself, even Lot had to join in, and then we had to select him away also. We spoke about that. So then why regress and have Avram have relations with Hagar and Mitzri? Like, what's the point? The pearl has been found already. So with a big smile, Avi mentioned yesterday, and that is true, that there's a need to... It was cute. To polish the pearl. Okay? Now, what it means is, the way we put it, we phrase it a little differently, that is, until this point, what we did was we were selecting negative elements, or outside elements of Avraham Avinu. At this point, we are obviously selecting elements within Avraham Avinu's genes, if you wish, or potential within himself. We haven't defined yet what that means. But at this point, we said it has to be so. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense that this should be that Avraham Avinu should be engaged in such activity. When we started asking, this is what we came to yesterday, what would be a content of selecting out of Avraham Avinu elements that we're not interested in? Barry even deepened the question. I think it was Barry after Shir, were asking me, so then what, Avraham Avinu is carrying negativity inside of him? Like, how can one say such a thing? But this is where we came to, and that's what it leads us into, is some very, 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 very basic, very important inyanim that to be used and applied in many, many different areas of Torah. It's foundation of a lot, and we're just going to be touching upon it a touch today. Very, very, very important to be to concentrate and to listen carefully for those people who are interested in understanding a little more deeper building blocks of the way Torah works. Okay. We're going into the actual internal identity or internal world to the extent that we can speak about it of Avraham Avinu himself. And to do that, let's discuss Avraham Avinu in a broader context of a bigger group of people than just Avraham Avinu himself, and that is Avraham as being part of a group of individuals, which we know as the... What? Well, we can either refer to Avraham Avinu as part of the group of the Avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's a larger group of individuals that Avraham Avinu is part of, which recently actually visited our sukkah, and that is the Shiva Ushpizin. Sometimes we know them as Shivat Haroim, the seven shepherds, the seven Ushpizin. What are these seven Ushpizin? What's this group of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David? What are they really about? What do they represent? What's special about this group? There are different grouping of different individuals that we find in Chazal. What's special about this group? Which we call the Ushpizim. The seven Ushpizim. Broader than that, deeper than that, we know, every kid knows today, that the number seven in Torah underlies in so many different areas of Torah, of Klal Yisrael, the concept of seven, just throwing up into the air a few examples, anything.
7 days
of the week leading into Shabbat. We spoke about it, that parallels the history of the mankind as a whole. The 6,000 years of history, the way we know it. In the 7th millennium of Yom HaMashiach, the Shabbat of history. It's every single week, but it's in a much broader context of time which our life takes place in, and that is history as a whole travels along this process of the 7. Others?
Ideally 7 notes of music.
What?
7 notes of music.
Okay, that's not the... I'm probably using Torah concepts right now, but to say that music is outside the realm of Torah, I will not say. So I'll join that as well. Yes?
Well, last night, Rav Nevin told us about like the 7 colors of the keshet in connection to the Shiva
sphere. 7 colors of the keshet is another expression of that. Okay.
Connected to the Shiva spheres. Like,
yeah.
7 spheres.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Generation. We'll touch upon it later.
There's a lot of studies of generation of Moshe between Avram and Moshe.
Avram and Moshe, it's true. We'll talk about it later on in Bereshit. Others? Expressions of 7 generations?
7 generations from Cain.
What?
7 generations from Cain to the punished.
7 generations from Cain to?
Yeah, the 7 generations from Israel last week.
From Cain to?
But if he wasn't punished until 7 generations.
Shiva Cain, you come Cain.
Okay.
More basic systems of 7 within Torah. The performance of Torah. 7 days of Sukkot, 7 days of Pesach, Shavuot, 7 weeks. Going from 7 days to 7 weeks. 7 weeks of Sefirat HaOmer. 7 months, the Chodesh HaShvi'i. It's a very significant month of the year. Tishrei. Shemitah. Yovel. In the system of years. In the system of Shemitot. Any span of time we talk about, we find systems of 7. Shivat HaMinim, for example. So... this is all over the place. So let's go somewhat into the crux of the Izinyanim. Rav Nevinsel spoke about some aspects of it yesterday. Little me will try to continue some aspects. Yeah.
Just I think going back onto what Barry said, that could each of the Ishbizin represent one of those 7 like tachtonims, the lower energies that I know there's the tekmen and there's
that's exactly what we're doing right now. Let's start going into it. The background to everything, source-wise, Torah-wise, Tanakh-wise, is the pasuk that we're all familiar with, and that is Lecha Hashem Hagdula V'Hagvura V'Hatiferet V'Hanetzach V'Hahod Ki chol v'shamayim v'aretz v'cha Hashem ha-mam-lacha. Okay, we're all familiar with this pasuk. We say it in the morning, pasuk in Zimra, and towards Shirat Hayam, we say it when we take out the Sefer Torah out of the Aron. L'cha Hashem ha-gedula, ha-gvura, ha-tiferet, ha-netzach, ha-hod, ki chol v'shamayim v'aretz, v'cha Hashem ha-mam-lacha. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, and 7. Okay, this whole long term here is one midah, one trait. He hold the shemayim v'aretz. So, what's this pasuk about? What this pasuk is a pasuk in Tanakh that David HaMelech is saying, which is the basis for what later on will be developed in Chazal and the Zohar, and will be developed later on by the Mekubalim throughout the ages. And that is, we're talking about the 7 midot. Okay. The 7 traits, 7 character traits, if you wish. It's true, you'll find it, sometimes you'll find the more Kabbalistic terminology will refer to it as 7 sfirot. Okay, but we're talking similar terminology, 7 midot, 7 traits. Now, what are these 7 traits? We're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he who has these traits. Lecha Hashem ha-gdula v'ha-gdula v'tifer v'etzach v'ha'od v'chol v'chman v'az Lecha Hashem ha-mam lecha. So in fact, yes, so to speak, I'm emphasizing so to speak, these are the character traits, again, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Now, why do I emphasize so many times, I think I did 3 times, so to speak, the character traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because one has to be very careful. We never, and be aware of this, and the Kabbalim emphasize this over and over. We're not attempting to talk about, to describe, to enter, to understand, to fix or to define anything in terms of God himself or God in relationship to himself. That is hanistarot la'Hashem Elokeinu, that's hidden from us. We don't have any access to that. We don't have any hasaga, no perception there. And if there's no perception, there's nothing to say, there's nothing to verbalize. That which we verbalize is that which we have some access to. Hence, for example, Shem Yudke, let me just give it in brackets, Shem Yudke Yvavke, which is a presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is beyond what our mind and Olam HaZeh can contain, just in terms of time, Hayah Oveviyah, therefore we don't pronounce it. We don't pronounce it because we don't have any access to it. We don't have any access in our mind to something which stands outside of the realm of time. Our mind is designed to work with time. So we don't express it, we don't pronounce it, it doesn't have a pronunciation in this world. End of brackets. Back to our topic. So then, as I said, we're not talking about God in relation to Himself. We're not talking about any mahut or essence of God. All we can talk about God is the extent is His relationship to us. Okay? His relationship to us, we can talk about. And His relationship to us, when we break down His relationship to us into its components, those are the character traits. And those are, Hashem can relate to us in a form of Gdula, or in a trait of Gvura, or of Tiferet, or of Malchut, etc., etc. Okay? So use those terms. I like it more than using the more New Agey, somewhat flaky term that you use, that is energies, even though it's used today. Look at it as traits. I'm not poselit, I'm not saying that it's not, but I think it's more closer to us and easier to relate in terms of traits. Now, why easier to relate to us? Taking it everything now, one stage further. These are the traits of the way God relates, or if you wish to use another term, I'm rephrasing a little, the way, seven traits of which, the ways in which God rules, manhig, this world. Okay? Kadosh Baruch Hu is ruling the world, taking the world to its destination through seven midot. So you can either talk about it in terms of relating to the world, relating to man, relating to Klal Yisrael, or you can talk about it in terminology of ruling the world. More as a judge, more as a ruler, more as a king. Both are valid. Now, in exactly, and that's why I'm taking everything one step further, listen carefully. In the same exact way that Kadosh Baruch Hu is manhig, rules his world with the means of these seven traits, parallel to that, being that we're created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Tzelem Elokim, a human being rules his own personal, private, microcosmic world. Kubbalim all talk about the concept of Adam is an Olam Katan. Every human being is a small world. It corresponds to the world as a whole, not other species. A dog does not correspond to the world as a whole. A human being does, and a Jew, for sure, in a deeper sense of the word. And therefore, his actions are so incredibly effective to the world as a whole, but I don't want to go into it right now. But in the same way that God rules his world, the world as a whole, the macrocosmic world of Olam HaZeh, through these seven character traits, every person rules, or is supposed to rule, his own personal world with these seven traits. So therefore, these seven traits, you can either talk about it as the God's traits, or, in the level of every human being, human traits. In a sense, we share the same traits with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a deeper meaning to the concept that I just mentioned before. We read it in the past week's Parsha, that we were created in the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Tzelem Elokim. It's not just a general concept, it's broken into components. And these are the components. So, what are the traits? So, let's take it from here and let's make a list of those traits and the more later terminology that we find. Gdula, as Rashi points out a few times in Chumash, is the Midah as we know it, as the Midah of the first of the seven Midot, of Chesed. Gdula or Chesed. That going right now into why Chesed and Gdula are really interchangeable. Chesed, Gdula. Sometimes known as Emet, sometimes known as Rachamim. When I say sometimes known, I mean it's different faces, different facets, different aspects, different levels in the same Midah. Every Midah here is a concept, it's a world of meaning with multi layers and aspects to it. There's no one English term that can encapsulate any of these terms. Okay? Look at it, think about it more as a concept than as a word, and therefore don't look to translate in your mind so quickly to something because that will be distorting your understanding of it. It's always going to be much broader than any translation into English. Tiferet, or Emet, or Rachamim, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, That's the later Kabbalistic terminology for this whole long Kichol Gashamayim Uva'aretz. And the last one,
Malchut.
Okay? Lecha Hashem HaMamlecha. This is the origin in terms of the Pesukim. This is the later terminology, the way we know it in the Sfarim, the way in Kabbalim, later on Balei Chassidut, talk about it. Okay. So now let's, I'm going to, at this point.
And the other three.
What?
You want to talk about that?
Alright, what was mentioned now is these are the seven traits that appear in our world. There are origins, deeper origins to these midot that our world draws from. If you wish, they draw from the upper world. And those are three higher traits. I'm not going to talk about them right now. As you hear today, it's every kid knows about the concept of the 10 sefirot or 10 midot. It's these seven plus the origin midot that they draw from, and those are the so-called the upper three midot, but we're focusing on these lower seven. Okay, now, so what does it mean then that we have Shiva Ushpizin, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David? So, somebody wanted to suggest to you, yes, Abi.
Each one represents a certain trait. You can see straight off Avram Chesed. Now, obviously, you can go into it more, but I'm saying straight off the top line, Avram Chesed goes very well.
Okay, so what does it mean? Okay, let's develop that. What does it mean that he represents, that Avram Avinu represents Chesed, or that Yitzchak represents Gevurah? True? Elaborate on it, please. Just 1 second, please. One second, Abi.
Their greatest strength in terms of what they did most in Judaism was each one of these, again, Avram Chesed, his biggest, what he was known for, what every Jew knows him for.
Or I'll add another word, accomplishment.
Has it?
I'll add another word, accomplishment.
Sorry, yeah.
No, I'm just adding another.
Was, you know, inviting people into his house, making sure how sick he was, that people were always happy and that he was able to please as many people as possible.
Okay, other Avi, how do you want to put
it? I have a question.
So one quick before the Josh, if you wanted to continue.
He had a big, great following. He had 10,000 people that he helped, you know, find the Emes in a way, you know. He not converted, obviously, but with, you know, his following, he, you know, influenced 10,000 people, you know, through Chesed and all that.
Okay, yeah.
He perfected himself in that aspect.
Okay. But it's all true, I think, ways of presenting it. And I've said it already. I'm a big believer in rephrasing. It's very, very important. Yes, Avi.
According to Nisaf Sfar or Chassidus,
there's the change order. Yeah. Yeah, there's the change of order. We're talking about the most accepted of the orders. Okay. It's a question of, do you go the order in the progression in terms of the midot? Or it's not we don't change the. In all systems, each one represents the midah.
Uh-huh.
In Sukkot, for example, it's do we go in the order of the Ushpizin, in the order of in the midot order, or if you wish, the Kabbalistic order, or are we talking more in terms of the chronological order? That's the difference. So it's not a categorical difference. Yes.
This is the one according to Nisan's story.
What?
Like the one on the board we have is like the order according to the.
Like, which makes sense because the. Sfars and Adav Mizrach will always be more Kabbalistic in its orientation. Anyways. So as you people said, I'll add a few more terms, or I'll rephrase it a little, and that is, each one of these seven individuals, throughout his life, he brings fully into the world this midah. Did nobody do chesed before? Of course, there were individuals who did chesed. Did chesed in its full sense. Chesed in its full form, chesed par excellence, thank you, is a midah that fully comes throughout the life of Avram Avinu, not at once, but gradually, as the life of Avram Avinu unfolds, that midah unfolds. To say it in a sharper terminology, on this level of discussion, there is not going to be one little story or event or detail in the life of Avram Avinu, the way it's described in Chumash, which is not connected or not acting out or not bringing out or unfolding the midah of chesed and so on and so forth for any of the midot. Meaning, on this level, the claim is that the person in the midah is one. It's not that he's accomplishing other things also. And by the way, he's also bringing out this midah. This is the midah in its embodiment form. It's in its human manifestation being acted out in the world. And when Avraham Avinu completes his life, the midah is completed. And if you wish, it's come into the world. Avraham Avinu brought it out. And any time now, that any Jew who's a Ben Avraham Avinu is going to bring out, acting, the midah of chesed, he's acting out the genes of Avraham Avinu, so to speak, the midah of Avraham Avinu, that he became the carrier, or if you wish to use other terminology, the merkava, for that midah in the world. Okay, so now that we have this background, let's go on and develop this. We're isolating right now Avram and the midah of chesed, and going back to yesterday's shir, and to the questions that we presented at the beginning of today's shir. If we're claiming that the pearl is not yet perfect, and as Avi put, we needed to still polish the pearl, that means that Avram, or talking about it in terms of the midah, which he's an embodiment of, requires fixing, polishing, or eradicating elements in it which we're not interested in. So, to the extent that we're asking, what does it mean to get out of Avram Avinu, Yishmael, is just as well as asking, what aspect, let's just illustrate it as such, the circles, the midah of chesed. These X's represent elements in chesed that needs to be eradicated. What would that mean? And clearly, whatever that is, comes out in the form of Yishmael. Okay? Clear what I just said? Again? We're claiming that Avraham Avinu, there are elements in Avraham Avinu that have to be selected out of him. Not just anything around him, Lech Lecha, but even within Avraham Avinu himself. To the extent that we define Avraham as the embodiment of chesed, so you could just as well talk about that there are elements in the midah of chesed in its complete form that has to be, that has not yet fully come out, and only by the end of Avraham Avinu's life can we talk about chesed fully coming into the world in its full form. But a crucial stage to get there is getting out of Avraham Avinu the aspects within him which are yet not the seder, have not yet been completed, and that is elements within the midah of chesed. What would that mean to bring out of the midah of chesed elements that we're not interested in? And whatever that is, it's going to be coming out in the form of this individual who is an embodiment of it, and that is Yishmael. So let's try to understand what it means. Yes. Ari, what do you want to say? You didn't? Okay. Yes.
Would Shlomo at all be in this?
Because Shlomo HaMelech?
Yeah. Because if I remember correctly, maybe I'm wrong, Shlomo did fall on one of those pictures that they did hang up in Sukkot. If I'm mistaken, I could be.
What?
Some people, like, they put up, like, pictures of, like, the different Ushpizin that they have and the cycle of, like, on the first day, on the second. Was Shlomo one of the Ushpizin in, I don't know, in some kind of Jewish?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll ask you after.
Maybe it's sort of, I don't know what you mean.
Okay, I'll ask you after.
Yes, I'll ask you.
It's quite complicated, and you may go into, you may not. But I'm very confused as to how the system of working it out, working the bad things out, like, is how it works, basically. Because it seems very confusing different aspects, like why couldn't Noah just have lots of sons, and therefore, you know, and therefore Noah would be perfect, not his sons. And it's all very complicated. Well, it also means Sarah had to be perfect as well for it.
What I suggest is let's complete the entire Bereshit timeline. No. Let's see the entire process which we're just in the midst of. As much as we thought we completed it with Avraham Avinu, clearly the system is much more complicated. Get to the end of Bereshit. If it's not clear, I'm sure there are many aspects which are not clear, many aspects which are not clear to me. But those are questions to be brought at the end. When we see the full picture of Sefer Bereshit, after the end of Sefer Bereshit has fully unfolded itself, ask that question, okay? We'll see then. So let's try to examine what would it mean that the Midah of Chesed has elements that we do not want. Any ideas? What could that mean? Yes?
Thank you.
basically the question is, how many people are in favor of moving out of the Shear Room to the Blue Room? Is that what it's called?
How many people?
Is it too crowded or is it fine for you guys? To me, it doesn't make too much difference.
It's too
far
of a walk. I don't know. We bring a board down there. I'm getting older.
Yeah, too.
What's the Blue Room?
It's more Hamish in here.
Yeah, I kind of like this.
Yeah, it's Hamish.
Sometimes it gets too many.
I'm all for Hamish. If anything changes at some point, this is a democracy, you can definitely bring it up. We'll reconsider it. Yes.
If Avram is the focus of Chesed, then that's had a benefit for Chesed and potential of good and potential of bad as well.
Which is what, if I remember correctly, Josh, you mentioned yesterday, in terms of Tov and Ra, right? The whole system started off with Tov and Ra. And that there's a mixture, as Josh reminded you yesterday, there's a mixture of Tov and Ra in anything, in any action, and in, therefore also in any traits. And therefore, what Ari, based on what Josh was saying yesterday, can't just speak about Chesed as we would tend to superficially. Yeah, Chesed is great, but also Pashut. Chesed could have a Tov, and it could have a Ra aspect. Question, of course, is how do we define Chesed B'chal in the first place? Let's define Chesed. How do you define Chesed? Now, clearly, you can't define Chesed as helping an old lady cross the street. You can say that that's a manifestation of the trait. That's not the definition of the trait. But what? Try to define. And definition will always be as the more abstract, the better and more broader the definition. Yes, Josh. I mean, Benji.
It's a good action. The good action don't necessarily have very intentions.
We'll get back to that in a second. Yes.
An action has to do with taking from within yourself to bring it outside and give it to others.
Say it again?
It's an action that comes from within and bringing it out into others.
Say it again? Yeah, I forgot your name.
Jason,
right.
A positive instinct towards other people to help them.
Positive instinct towards other people to help them. Open up, please, and I hear what you're saying, but open up, please, for a moment, and Parshat Kedoshim. I know it sounds a little weird, but open up the Parshat Kedoshim in Sefer Vayikra. Chapter 20, Pasuk 17. Chapter 20, Pasuk 17. Yes?
Yes.
You can look in English or in the Hebrew. Actually, I need you to look in the Hebrew first. I'm reading inside. This is the list of Arayot, not the one of Parshat Arayot of the Parsha before, Parshat Achimot that we read on Yom Kippur. These are already not the Azhalot, rather the Onashim, the punishments for those relationships. Anyways, Pasuk 17. The Isha Sherikach et Achato, a person who goes and takes his sister, Bat Aviv Batimo, Verai Terubata, Veish Yireh Terubato, a brother and sister that have relations, Chesed Hu, not such a positive instinct, Jason. Obviously, there's something off in the way we understand or define the meaning of chesed. It's true. We have a tendency to think about it always in the context, in a positive context of gemilut chesedim. Gemilut chesedim is something excellent. But chesed alone, it doesn't necessarily mean that. There's obviously a need for much broader definition for what chesed is that can then manifest itself again to the positive, as Josh said yesterday and Ari said before, to the negative. So again, let's define. How would you define the trait of chesed? Which everything that was said till now is obviously just branches and not the actual definition itself, is there?
A selfless giving. Meaning that could be done in like this could be a selfless giving of a brother to a sister.
I would tend to say that it usually is pretty selfish when one does such an act.
Just kidding.
Yeah, sorry.
Going beyond the pool.
The tendency, listen very carefully, the tendency for anything in the world, anything, even being a cell in the body, to go beyond its boundaries, that would be the definition of chesed. Now, that's something which was completely raw. It's parv. It can go one way, it can go the opposite way. In that sense, the midah of chesed, what kind of relationship, therefore, listen carefully to the question, does it have with a midah coming afterwards of Gevurah. We just said before that Chesed, Ari said, I agree, Chesed is the tendency of anything in the world to go beyond its boundaries. The second midah after Chesed we saw is the midah of Gevurah. What is, how would you define Gevurah? Staying within the borders or within the boundaries. For example, the most classic expression of it will be Ezehu Gibol. Gibol, meaning he who carries the midah of Gevurah, HaKovesh et Yisrael, who holds himself back. Self-restraint, self-discipline will be an example in life for the midah of Gevurah. Okay, so Chesed and Gevurah are two midot, which one can really say the relationship between them is?
Inverse.
Right, or opposites of each other. In fact, all midot, all these seven midot, in the world of the Mekubali, manifest itself not just in the world of colors, which we live in self, which Shlita spoke about yesterday, it also has a manifestation physically, anatomically. Another level, a further level of talking about we are a human being being created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The very physical format of a human body is organized in accordance with these seven traits. So the first two traits that we're talking about are going to be Chesed and Gevurah, manifesting themselves right in the right and left hand. Hence, what Chazal tell us, La'olam teheh, listen carefully, Smol docha, v'yamin mekarevet. A healthy balance of interacting with the world is having using your left hand to say no, to keep a distance, v'yamin mekarevet, and your right hand hugging, getting close. But if there's no left hand and there's only closeness, that's exactly the problem of a loss of boundaries. So, la'olam teheh, smol docha, v'yamin mekarevet is the need for a healthy balance between these two opposites, Chesed and Gevurah. What's the time, please?
10-2.
Now, by the way, lahavdil ben kodesh lechol. But yeah, just to give some concepts. Anybody here who has some experience with martial arts will be familiar with the concepts of yin and yang from Eastern philosophy. Lahavdil again between kodesh and chol. There is similarity between talking about the relationship of yin and yang and chesed and gevurah. Again, lahavdil ben kodesh lechol, and to a very great extent between tameh and tahol, which is already, of course, much harsher. But that's very important to emphasize in our new agey generation. Now, if this is the case, so, going back to our topic, and that is the midah of chesed. And the midah of chesed has 12 aspects, and it can have also raw aspects. Both share the same thing of going beyond boundaries. So, give me examples in real life for negative aspects of chesed. And which is really the perush for what are those X's in the Avraham Avinu trait which we're trying to get out of the system. So what would be examples of negative chesed? If you wish, extreme chesed. What do I mean by extreme chesed? Unbalanced with Gevurah. That would always be the problem. The problem with midot will be always when the midah is acting on its own without coordination or harmony with other midot. Okay, so what would be examples of extreme slash negative? Slash unbalanced chesed, meaning going beyond boundaries but in a negative way. So we just saw an active arayot is one. It's going in beyond the boundaries into a relationship which is not meant to be yours. Yes, Avi. Yes.
A bra from the rich to feed the poor?
Well, you don't even have to get to, in order to feed, you don't have to get to Robin Hood.
Okay.
No, any type, any form of robbing, any form of stealing, any form of gneva. Yes, Avi. What was that? Okay, that's a little more sophisticated. Maybe that's what you guys are really referring to. That you're still in your mind, which is good. It's more sophisticated than what I was talking about. That which could be viewed as positive extension, but in a distorted way. You're right. But you don't even have to get to that. I'm saying any stealing, you're going beyond in a simpler level. You understand? Avi and Eliezer. Even on the simple level of going beyond boundaries, such as what the Parsha and Kedoshim define. It's a mode of chesed.
So then anything could be then.
Nachon. Any trait. Traits are not good or bad. There's no such thing as a good trait. You either channel your traits, which are raw, what I called before parv, in their actual nature. You channel them the way you want, and that's your Bechira Chofshi. That's another way of talking about what Josh mentioned before, yesterday. Everything is subjugated to Tov and Ra. Midot are parv. How you channel them, they can have a positive or a negative in the manifestation. There's not, anger is not a good midah or a bad midah. The context in which it's used is either good or bad. You'll tell me, but all this time talking about that, that's one way that you want to have to eradicate almost completely. Of course, 100%, you're right. Extreme. But there are definitely situations where the father is mechuyev to show a face of anger towards his child. He cannot be wrapped up in anger, but he has to act, bring out as if he's angry at the kid. Somebody does a terrible act of corruption. Of course he'll be angry at that. Because the context in which you apply a midah is going to be either good or bad, tov and ra. But the midah itself doesn't have any, doesn't enter into the terminology of tov and ra. It's how you use it, how you channel it. Nachon? That's the meaning of gamet zeh, le'umat zeh, the famous pasuk in Kohelet.
Gam et zeh, we read it in Chola and Pesukot. Gamet zeh, le'umat zeh, asa ha'elokim.
That's the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a positive and the negative behind it. And this duality is the way the world of Olam Hazeh works. Okay, it's just another floor, another way of presenting the same issues of Tov versus Ra, a world of duality, a world of free will. Okay, we're just getting into other different faces or expressions or more elaborated expressions of everything we spoke about. Anyways, back to our topic. Chesed, Ra, stealing, any form of Geneva. I'm putting my hand in somebody else's stuff. I'm going beyond the boundaries of self into somebody else's circle. This is my circle of possession, this is your circle of possession. The moment I go and take your stuff, I'm going beyond boundaries.
That's chesed.
What?
We're calling that chesed.
Again, we're caught up in our mind with chesed being something good. We have to let go of that. Gmilut chesedim in the connotation of chazal, that's...
Okay, so you've got Gneva, which is the power of that. So what's the code and what's the heart?
I didn't say that Gneva is the part. Chesed is part. Gneva is clearly a negative. Okay? Gneva will be the negative application of the trait with the loss of boundaries. Now, so one second, Benji. Going back to our good old, Avi, one second. Our topic of discussion is who in the world needs Yishmael? Who needs Yishmael? Why did Yishmael have to get out of Avram Avinu? And we're claiming that there is a bringing out, channeling out of Avram Avinu, of traits which are extreme or unbalanced, traits of chesed, tendencies of chesed, which are channeled negatively, which come out in the form of Yishmael. Now, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu Chazal tell us, wanted to give the Torah to the different nations of the world, the Medrash goes on and says, he offered it to Yishmael. What did Yishmael say? Ah, I can't accept the Torah. Why? Because it says there, don't steal. Stealing is part of my very being. How do I know this? Yeah. When, before he was even born. Yadov bakol, v'yad kol bo. Yadov bakol. V'yad kol bo. Okay, this is exactly this. Lo tignov, I can't accept the Torah. For example, just a few weeks ago, I went to visit a friend. Listen carefully. In an oncology department in Hadassah Hospital. Okay, I parked my car right outside, not in the general parking lot, right outside in the small parking lot of the oncology department of Hadassah. I come back to the car a few hours later. Start driving the car. The windshield were a little dirty. I turn on the windshield wipers, and I hear this terrible squeak. I look, windshield wipers are gone. For God's sake, how can you come here? Obviously somebody's parking. What if it's somebody in the oncology department? So the first thing that comes to my mind, well, clearly a couple Arabs came and took it. So you can say, well, honestly, no, you're a racist. Or you can talk about statistics. The vast majority of cars stolen in Israel go into the West Bank. Not stam. Arabs have a strong tendency towards Gneva. And when Chazal said, I can't accept the Torah, Yishmael said, because lo tignov, Chazal meant it. If you doubt these statistics, so go to the nearest police station and ask. It's part of the very being. That's what before he was even born. Look inside in the actual psukim. How much more time do we have? What time is it?
I have like 58.
Okay. Boom, 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 boom. Look inside, please, in our parsha, parsha Lech Lecha. Chapter 16, pasuk 11.
You have 6 minutes on base Medrash time.
What's base Medrash time?
5 minutes.
Yeah, that defines time?
I think so.
Okay. Makes sense? Tet Zayin Yud Aleph. Look inside, please. This is very important pasuk. We'll have to develop these inyanim further tomorrow, B'slat Hashem. Chapter 16, pasuk 11. This is when, before Yishmael is even born, okay? We're defining somebody's identity before he's even born. To that extent, it's of his very essence. This is when Sarah saw that she was hukla in the eyes of Hagar. Once Hagar became pregnant in her gvira, Sarah was not. So she sends her away. She's all upset. And Avram says, "Oh, whatever you want, do to her." So she sends her off. And the Malach goes and says, "No, go back. V'hitani, and go back to the household of Avram, whatever the price is, that you will bear a child." And then, Pasuk Yudalav. Yomer la'malach Hashem, minach harav yolad ben, v'karat shmo Yishmael. Chazal point out, this is one of the only individuals, very small group in Tanakh, that is actually, his name is given before he's actually even conceived, or born at least. V'karat shmo Yishmael, ki shama Hashem al onyech. Because Hashem heard your onyech. V'hu yiyet pere adam. V'yad He will be a pere adam. Okay? A term you can use in modern Hebrew to describe a wild being. Who pere adam yado bakol v'yad kol bo. Hence the term that we have on the board. Okay? This is the way Torah defines Yishmael before he's even born. Another expression to this, by the way. The Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, the beginning of it is more famous. 10 cubits of speech was put into the world. 9 taken by?
Women.
Gemara stuff. 1 taken by the rest of the world. Most married men, when they check their phone bill, they have the actual kerut detail of all the phone calls last month.
What?
Oh, very good. That's what I was referring to. The Gemara goes on and says a whole list of very interesting such sentences. And what I'm actually referring to is that 10 cubits of znut come into the world. 9 taken by Arabs, 1 taken by the rest of the world. Okay? And that's the same midah. Okay? We're talking about the distorted or deformed loss of boundaries. Or a distorted chesed, or unbalanced chesed with the self-discipline, or delay of gratification, which is Koveshet Yisrael, Gevurah is about, which is what Yishmael represents, whether it's in the stealing form, whether it's in the arayot form, which are elements which have to come out of Avram Avinu. How we understand it, what was it in Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu did not act it out, but having that midah, having that potential, has the potential that will come out in the descendants at some point. And if we don't get it out of the system now, it's going to be acting out in Kal Yisrael. It has to be removed. And it's removed in the form of Yishmael. How? Clearly by bringing a woman, Hagar HaMitzrit. How? What's the mechanism? How it works? We'll talk about this at the Shem tomorrow.
It's like waste.